and welcome back to the Pet Cash Pod presented by Mobius. They have developed a super cool project in AirScreen. You can check it out at airscreentv.com. I use it all the time. It portrays sports or entertainment or news behind your computer. So while I'm answering emails or on LinkedIn or just messing around on my computer, I can literally watch sports without having to change tabs or anything like that. Super cool. It's free. You can check it out, the beta version, at airscreentv.com. We have an awesome episode today with Robin Duda. She is the co-founder and managing director of RacketX. They are trying to build a home through this awesome event that will take place March 24th through 26th in Miami around the Miami Open, and just bringing the world of racket sports to one place in person. We dive deep into racket sports as a whole. There's tons of interesting data and insights from Robin. Also, the business of events, which I think is super fascinating. This was a great one, super unique, and I think you'll enjoy it as much as I did. Let's dive in. Robin, thanks for coming on. March 24th through 26th, RacketX. I'm excited. But anyway, thanks for hopping on. This will be a good one.
Thank you, Andrew. So thank you for having me on. It's good to be here. And I can't wait to see you March 24th to the 26th.
I know.
Because you're going to be speaking at
RacketX. I know. I was talking to my aunt, who we'll get down there as well. She lives in Brickell. Oh, and so she'll come over, and she was like, well, what kind of mic are you using, or what this? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, well, you better figure that out, because I can, you know, there's different ways you got to do all this. And I was like, whatever, we're good. I've always been good at public speaking. But anyway, it was
You'll
just
be
funny.
Great. It didn't, but no pressure. It's just like a 1,000-person theater. That's all.
You'll the more fun. The more the better. But I guess real quick, give mm-hmm. us the high-level overview of what RacketX is before we get too deep into it. Yeah. So people have somewhat of a perspective and not just like, wait, what are they even talking about?
Yeah, it's the home court for racket sports. There is no place where, you know, I like to say makers through players or players to makers have a place to gather, celebrate, discover new products, new technologies, and continue the growth of the industry. It's a B2B and B2C event. We started out as pretty B2B centric and quickly realized that one, it's a sport where most of the folks who are in it also are fans and enthusiasts and players. So we can automatically, from a design standpoint, have a lot more fun. But two, the brands that we were working with have a vested interest in having more consumers and more eyeballs and more potential players within their brand or their sport. So we kind of opened up the doors to both sides and are creating a very experiential festival-like environment in Miami during the Miami Open week, the first weekend, which is really exciting. We have a joint ticket sale experience with them, and our Monday night event is up at the Miami Open, and then, you know, the APP Pickleball Miami Open as well. So there's just a lot of Miami Opens happening at the same time. They're going to be two doors down from us in the convention center, and their championship day aligns with our opening day, which is really, really fun and exciting. And we saw an opportunity in a white space in an industry that's growing, that's doing amazing. But I've seen so many in my 20-year event career. I've worked in industries across the board where they're growing, and then all of a sudden they stop. And without a space to share with each other, but also learn other success stories from other sports and other industries, you know, we felt it was our responsibility to kind of create that stage and that platform.
Love that. And you said we. So if you can give us the quick.
And yeah. I see the royal we with the team as well, because I am absolutely not doing this alone. I have a co-founder, Marco Giberti. He has been a tech investor in the event space and beyond for many years. And we've known each other for 10 in the events world. I spent 20 years in the event space. And, you know, this concept was kind of born from that and our investors. So, and then of course we have a team of like 12 people who are just grinding day and night to get this Amazing. Monster launched in March.
Love that. And, so you mentioned a few of the things from the pickleball and the Miami Open, but like, what can we expect? We talked about a main stage and some of that stuff, but
yeah.
What's the full layout look like? And
Yeah, it's you know, from an experiential standpoint, it's like we're building a mini racket club. And I don't even know if you want to say mini. Our floor is 140,000 square feet, which is not small, especially in the event world. We're building 9 different courts, 4 paddle or padel. It depends on which side of the hemisphere and
I'm a padel. World. I like padel, but what do you
paddle? I work with a lot of our investors are Argentinian, and they say paddle. So I've adopted that model, but padel, if you will. There's a tennis court, so there are 4 paddle courts, a tennis court, 3 pickleball courts, and more than likely the last court will be squash. Everything else is kind of secure, and we're trying to get squash in, but we have a big interest from platform tennis, which is big in the Northeast as well, amongst table tennis. Courts in the lounge viewing area. There'll be a podcast studio, a show floor theater where you can kind of get into it and a lot more niche. There's a AI-based app that we use that the app company that I've worked with for many years hates that I say it's like Tinder for events, but it is. Yeah. You kind of swipe left and right. The algorithm serves you up people that more people that you're swiping right on, and you're able to connect and meet and celebrate on the B2B side of the house and connect with buyers directly that way. But also, you know, I think there's going to be some really fun activations on all of these courts. You'll see new technology on these courts actually in action and be able to test new products. And just get on the court and have some fun. Maybe you're a tennis player and have never been able to play padel before. You'll be able to get on with one of the best coaches in South Florida and take a spin and get some lessons. So it should be. Plus, like I said, this main stage where we're really trying to bridge some really big topics that are themed, whether they be trends, the far future, 2050, or very industry specific, things like AI, democratization of AI in sports, where investment's going, the future of pickleball. There's going to be some proprietary research that we've partnered with some folks on. And, just really, like I said, celebrating, experiencing, and having a lot of fun during it.
Yeah. When you think of those speakers too, what are some of the I guess if you can highlight a few of them, I know the list, but yeah. I'll let you give the honors of like, there's some really cool people from the racket sports world.
There are. I mean, you, of course, included in that. Our friend at Liquidity will be speaking, Waylon, his partner at Bond. So that's amazing. And I just had a call with them last night, and they're such great guys. I guess I can say, because of the time, by the time this goes live, it'll be public. Juan Martín Del Potro will be our keynote. He is as we know, a US Open champion, world champion, tennis player, and now also paddle investor. In the space, we have, I have to pull the list up. There's quite a few. There's a lot of court builders from a niche sector, but talking about the future of clubs and ROI and what that looks like from that standpoint, there are, we have Deloitte, who's going to be on the stage unveiling some research across all the different sports. And there is some industry research, very niche in certain sports, but there isn't anything that crosses all racket sports. So we're trying to tackle a lot of that, along with Lane Terra Lever as our consumer research partner. And they'll be presenting some consumer insights on the consumer side of the house, as well as topics on about Gen Z and marketing to them in the future. There's some mental health sessions that we're working on, TBD, but kind of you name it, we run the gamut of stuff on the floor.
I love that. Yeah. Pickleball, I always said that was like my, that's my mental health,
space thing. Tom Webb, the CMO of the APP, will be presenting, and, there's a very different growth model, which I think is super fascinating that they use versus the other pro pickleball, leagues. And, we are going to be almost like a point counterpoint type of session on, growth methodology and growth strategy, on the pro side of it, which I think will be really interesting for a lot of folks, along with the Dink will be there. And Tom Shields is going to be speaking, who's awesome from a pickleball side of the house. Handful of big padel folks, and then we're trying to get some squash and some badminton folks, because we don't want to leave some of the excitement that's happening, especially in squash now that it's an Olympic sport.
It is. Mm-hmm. That's That's in a few months. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Amanda Sobey is the number one player. She unfortunately is going to be on a plane to a tournament in London. So she's not going to be able to be there. She sends her regards. However, we'll have some representation from some of the other sports as well.
And you talked about pickleball a little bit in there. What has that done? Has that been part of your ignition too into this to go, wait, this one came out of nowhere. It's really sort of bridged the gap of all the racket sports, which opened up this opportunity, or what does that sort of look like?
I mean, I think, you know, bridge the gap. Certainly, I think there's some people who think that, but there's also this, you know, rivalry, I think, among the sports with pickleball and tennis and padel, and they're starting to, I don't want to say pit themselves or their sport against each other. It's not one or the other. I don't think it's, I'm just a pickleball player. I identify as just a tennis player. I think the opportunity that lies here in us being this Switzerland and this home to the entire ecosystem is discovery, learning, and how can we all, you know, lift each other up? Because, and I said this earlier, if you have a racket in one hand, you most likely will or do have a paddle in the other, depending upon what it is, whether it's recreationally, competitively, or, you know, or that's part of your business. So I think the pickleball piece of this, certainly is really interesting. But there's a lot of ground to cover on kind of getting all these folks to work together a little bit more.
And you talked about the data too, a little bit. I'm curious, like across all the racket sports, like what are some of those things that you're trying to find? What is that data? Like, because you can look at players, right? Are you looking for players that play each or?
Yeah, I think what's really interesting is one is, you know, how many sports does a recreational player play? You know, is it 10? I play tennis, pickleball, and paddle, because that opens up opportunities for different buying opportunities for brands. I'm buying, you know, and then that could help shape their growth strategy as to whether they're going to, if they're just a paddle brand, can we get into some of these other sports? And we're starting to see that happen, but there is no real data that is out in the marketplace public on that. So while we have our hunches and our suspicions, I'd love to see what the actual percentage crossover is. And so we're working a bit on that. You know, and I think, the research is depending on where you look. We put out a racket trend report. We're actually doing five of them leading up to the show. The first one was on this industry, and there is no number that captures the entirety of what this industry's total addressable market is. The closest we got of something that's out there is $9 billion in just the equipment side of it. And $9 billion sounds really big, but in the grand scheme of things, if you bring in apparel, sneakers, the court building, the infrastructure side, and the tech side, it's massive, but it's not quantified anywhere. And I think there's a huge, obviously, investment opportunity to kind of map out what this growth looks like, or for folks who are looking to invest in this space, because we're seeing so many new investors pop up across some of these new sports, folks who have never been in the industry before. I think you can see on the professional pickleball side of it, you have celebrity investors kind of announcing themselves left and right to get into this. So what is the true opportunity in padel or paddle, you know, kind of coming in? It's the pickleball of, you know, different places in Europe and South America. So what does that look like? And what does that future look like here? And where's their opportunity? Because we're seeing a lot of it.
Yeah. I'm curious to see that data too. And it's got to be up there and across all sports. If you look at racket sports, it's got to be one of the highest then, if you combine all that, if not the highest.
Yeah, we have a slide. I'll send it to you afterward, but I kind of just snipped out some of the top ones of the number of players. Badminton is the largest across the world. The numbers are staggering, and I might pull it up in a second. I don't have it here, but if you compared the total number of players, I think it was to football, soccer, like not American football, but soccer or European football. Yeah. It's like multiple times. If you take all of the racket sports and combine them, of the amount of players, you know, people who play or consider themselves players by the associations that kind of register, it's way bigger than football. And I just don't know if a lot of folks realize the massiveness and the potential that's here.
Yeah. Realize. Anyway, curious.
They are. It is coming to fruition, but
it is.
You know, let's, you know, but again, there is, there isn't a place where it's all talked about together, you know, all racket sports. It's either an association that runs something in one sport, and then they're kind of crossing over into things, or there's, you know, a couple of, you know, there's tournaments, of course, but there's nothing like this that exists. So.
Yeah. And you said you play the three racket sports. Which is your favorite?
I mean, I wouldn't say I play them well.
What's your,
I have played all of them. I like you played, grew up playing basketball. However, I think it's very fun to play from a family aspect to pick up pickleball, mm-hmm. because you can play with parents, you can play with kids, you can play across the board. So it's super fun in terms of inclusiveness of the sport. Padel, you know, tennis, I've taken lessons for a while. It's harder to get into a
group
when
you're
good
huh?
at it. And
the
then,
serve.
Yeah. And
that's what holds me up. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. But padel, although there's a limited number of courts, but growing, to me, that's like a great, a great bridge between the two, although very different. And I think it's a really fun social one as well. So
yeah, I was laughing while we were talking about the pickleball family thing, because it was a big thing. Every time we had birthday parties or like big family events, we would play pickleball. But that stopped because the last time my uncle literally just like snapped his Achilles and was like screaming. It was a big family event until it wasn't, it was a lot of fun. And I agree, like it's super cool. You just draw the lines or
exactly. And you can play anywhere, and it's, there's a low barrier to entry. And I think that's what makes it really interesting though, from a school standpoint, and pipeline, of people wanting to play as they get older. It's an easy PE, thing in education in schools. You don't have to have a ton of money to be able to put a court together. And I think there's a really beautiful thing to the inclusiveness that pickleball has brought, and the unity that it can bring amongst lots of different people.
Yeah. And in terms of innovations, now jumping into the space, mm-hmm. anything cool you've seen obviously you're talking to so many people, and why this interests me at such a level, I'm sure you can imagine, is because when you sit in the center of all the stakeholders, which is what I always sort of try to do at Profluence, but obviously from an even broader perspective, is, you see everything, you know everyone, you talk to everyone. You know, what are some of those things where you're like, this is next, or this is really cool, because it's fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, I think, obviously AI is all the buzz, but I think there's some interesting things that are happening that could be very disruptive, that we need to be talking about. There's some AI being developed on a coaching AI. So what does that look like for the future of coaching, and how do coaches get on board with that now in order to not be obsolete in the future? I think that, I told you we're building out these courts. We're going to have some technology, player improvement, swing improvement types of technologies out there, but also volley, which is a serve mm-hmm. machine. That kind of helps do different serves on the tennis court. And another one that I just spoke to and we're hoping to get there, TennyBot, which is basically Roomba for tennis courts, which, I mean, I've taken lessons. It's like, okay, go pick up your balls. Yeah. And you spend 5 minutes going to get them. And think about if every lesson a coach or a community center or a school had, where they're saving time there because there's a Roomba, tennis bot.
That's a great invention. I must say that, like, that's one of those obvious ones that everyone probably has thought of in some form, but didn't actually go do. That's cool.
I was like, this is so, it's just, and it's portable. And it's the way, look at it. It's very cool. It like snaps up and like rolls away like a little like rolling suitcase. And you're just like, man, people are so smart. There's stuff popping up, but I do think there's, again, on the tech and innovation side, there's huge opportunity. I don't think that, I was in tech for 10 years, and so I think I can say this, not sports tech, but I've been in, enterprise tech for a long time. I wouldn't say this is, the racket sport world has been the most technically advanced of all of the sports. And you look at what's happening with tomorrow, you look at what's happening with overtime league and some of the different technologies that they're integrating just on a daily basis for things. I think that there's a lot of lessons we can learn from those folks to up our game in the racket sport world.
And before we close out on the business of events and setting it up, I have to ask, you've done a lot of cool stuff in the space, Like, what excited you so much about RacketX and Racket Sports and this opportunity, and you know, why you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I need to do this.
I mean, well, one, I love events. I knew at a very early age that I was meant.
But why do you love events?
I love connecting people. There's a, and no matter what it is, I love connecting. I love the act and the art of connecting. I think being able to design something, and I use the word design not lightly, because you can just, I think people throw up events all the time, but I think there's beauty in designing something that's truly meaningful and impactful. And it's not easy to do, but it's connecting people and seeing handshakes be made, seeing hugs be made. I do this in my free time. I like to plan dinner party. I mean, any way that I can create connection, I like doing it. But I think there's beauty in connecting people to people, to people to businesses, and people to ideas. To me, that's like the trifecta of putting something on that, you know, helps people grow. So that part I love. So anywhere where I can do that, and I've consulted for 6 years, outside of, you know, being in the corporate world, doing that for companies of all different shapes and sizes. It doesn't matter what the project is. I think there's mystery and magic in figuring out people and using design thinking to do that. When the opportunity and my co-founder came to me with the idea, I will not take credit for coming up with the idea myself. Okay. I've been an athlete my whole life, you know, and what better marriage is there doing the thing that I love, with investors who are really, really smart, in a space that obviously there's white space, so that makes it a little bit easier. But where, you know, people in the sports world are friendly and nice. They understand collaboration. They understand team building. There is a power and beauty in that that I'm noticing translate into the business side of it, which I didn't really expect, having come from some really cutthroat other industries where there's just a lot of competition and protectiveness of ego. I haven't seen that here. And that part, you know, while I was already in it when I discovered it, has made me even hungrier to make sure that we put something really great on.
I love that. And so on the business side of it, then obviously that plays a part into the equation. What does an event, being a connector, putting all these people in one space, like what does that actually look like? Where are your revenue streams coming from and how are you building that out? Because great idea, great in concept, great final product, but a lot to make that a good experience for everyone.
Yeah. Not to get too far under the hood, but funny enough, my co-founder Marco, I'm actually on his, he has a whole masterclass on the business of events and how it works, that I speak to the importance of design on, but really, the revenue streams are, from your sponsorship. And we have a big space, and while, I will never use the word trade show or conference, you won't see that in any of our materials. At its core, there's multiple elements of revenue, and we have a really big space and sponsors, while we are, curating and crafting. It's not just come and you buy your space and see you later. You are selling real estate to a certain extent, in the space that we have. Obviously we have a lot of the courts, and then we're selling, you know, experiences. So being able to, create court time, there's emerging designer sections, there's action shot station sponsorships, there's creating moments that actually make the content of this come to life that people can buy, and we work with them on that. And then there's your ticket sales. You know, so that's, you know, anyone who's buying a VIP pass through coming as from an expo pass. So there's two streams of revenue here. And what's really interesting about events, and then I'll stop because I don't want to go too hard on the event piece, but you know, once you hit a certain, once you break even on the investment, there's a disproportional growth after that, as I'm sure you can imagine, which is why it's a really interesting business model. We're not a non-for-profit, so I want to make sure that's clear. We are for-profit. And the exciting part is if you do this right, and you start to build something really good, keeping that integrity, you can, your margins go up pretty quickly.
So what's the future of RacketX? When's, are you already thinking beyond the first one, or it's literally just can't even comprehend that yet?
I can and I can't. you need to. So, I think that there is, I think it's really important to announce that this is an annual event, and make sure that while you have a captive audience, that they understand what's happening next, how they can interact with what's happening next. And sponsors can sign up to make sure that they secure their place in something that's really special, because, you know, our hope is that we are growing every year. I mean, we wouldn't do this otherwise if we were starting to go the other way. So the point is, you know, if you've come on board with us early and helped us build, and all of our sponsors are, I mean, they're truly, I hate using the word sponsor, they're partners to us. Right. They are marketing, helping us. They are giving us suggestions for new speakers and really truly kind of building this magic with us. They get reward, you know, there's a reward that comes along with that where they get to, you know, have, you know, consistent rates through the future, where they get to pick, you know, spaces and activate, they get to kind of, you know, pick what they want first. So yes, in 2025, there will be another Racket X, and we'll unveil what that looks like at the 2024 show.
Very cool. Website, socials, more info. Where any closing thoughts on Racket X? The floor is yours.
The Racket X, Racket with CQU, the chic spelling of it, in my opinion.
I will say you will like liquidity because he is very to the point on the CK. he doesn't accept the other way, like the C.
We don't either. In our lexicon, we're pretty pro the QU with our branding. TheRacketX.com, there's more information. Our agenda's up, but we're adding to it. There are speakers being added every day. There are sessions that are being added every day. I think there's part of it being set, and then part of the beauty that comes along with making sure that we're relevant at the time of the event. So new stuff will be added through the show. The Miami Open ticket is up there for purchase. APP will be up any day now. Follow us on Instagram. It looks really beautiful. We're putting up some really cool stuff on our Instagram. And we just dropped, like I mentioned, we have the trends report that we did, which is, can be found on the website. We just dropped the second one, which is on fashion, which is close to my heart. There's a fashion trends with a few takeaways, and predictions from me, in the future of Racket Sports.
Love it. So, I guess we'll see everyone on March 24th through 26th at Racket X.
I can't wait.